So I have no personal financial relationships with this topic, at least not for the next 5 minutes. I want to start with a quote that I know all of you are very familiar with. I think a lot of us had to probably memorize this poem when we were in high school. And why would I put this up here initially? The focus of my discussion this morning, really is on the use of health information technology, but more particularly social media, with respect to older adults and an idea or a concept or even a care issue called social isolation. And why I'm talking about that is because it's significant in this population, largely because that overarching condition leads to a number of other conditions. And it really changes the paradigm of care when talking about older adults. There are two ways that care can be provided. The first is to care for the actual condition of the older adult. Something is wrong, it's diagnosed, a treatment plan is given. Or it's to treat the older adult as an individual. What is wrong with them, or what are their conditions that may be leading to things that may be happening to them? And social isolation is one of those. Social isolation occurs when an individual has limited contact with others and perceives that contact as being inadequate. It can be measured in two ways, subjectively, by examining their perception of a social network, and objectively, by assessing their existing social network. Why is that important? Because some of you may have heard this topic and thought, I'm not sure I understand what the significance of this is. There are some senior or older adults, rather, that choose to be alone. That's correct. They do. And if they choose to be alone, if you're looking at the care of the individual as a whole, then this isn't really a prevailing condition. But if you're examining their social network and realizing that they feel that it's inadequate and they don't have enough contacts, then you realize that that condition may be leading to others. To determine whether an individual is socially isolated, you have to examine the quality of their social network, the negative feelings that arise when interactions with other like-minded individuals decrease, and the number and frequency of social interactions. And this definition is crucial. Because, again, it's a prevailing condition, but not for everyone. There are those older adults that choose to be isolated, that choose to be alone, that are introverted. But then there are those that don't choose to be, but as a result are, and because of that, there are other conditions that follow. Why does it matter? Some of those conditions can be physical problems, including increased mortality, elevated blood pressure, malnutrition. Think about this for a moment. Seniors that are older adults, that are isolated, often choose not to eat because they don't want to walk into a room and eat by themselves. So subsequently, they don't eat. And as a result, they become malnourished. And then poor health outcomes following stroke, particularly in the areas of rehabilitation, because they would rather do rehabilitation in a group setting rather than an individual one. Some of the cognitive issues include increased depression, depressive symptoms, suicide, dementia, and cognitive decline. The relationship between these is mutually reinforcing. The more an older adult is isolated and not by choice, the more prevalent these conditions become, the more depressed they get. The potential for malnourishment increases, the higher their blood pressure gets, and as a result, they may experience cognitive decline. Older adults are in particular very vulnerable to this. Social isolation is not a new concept, and it is certainly not a new concept to a larger population. Children experience social isolation in bunches, particularly before they hit the age of 12. However, in this particular case, we're talking about older adults because they are specifically vulnerable because of life changes that may occur as a result that may lead them to be isolated, such as lack of transportation. If suddenly an older adult who has been driving 60 to 70 years of their life can no longer drive, then they are going to find it very difficult to get from point A to point B, and as a result may choose not to travel, and subsequently may then find themselves isolated. Retirement. People that have been working for 30, 40, 50 years, having worked for the federal government for a while, which I don't admit often, I remember that people that had retired from the government that had been working for 30 or 40 years were almost dreading it to some extent. largely because their entire community and social network were wrapped into that environment. And once they left it, that network goes with them. It's hard for them to come back into a network that they're retiring from. And then finally, and probably no surprise, bereavement, when they lose their spouse. Particularly if they have been married for a substantial period of time, that spouse becomes their life. And once that spouse is gone, and those social connections that were attributed to that spouse are gone, social isolation becomes far more prevalent. It's difficult to ascertain the cost and burdens of this since it's not a diagnosable disorder. There's no cure to this. There's not a pill that can be taken. There's not a therapy that can be provided. But there are costs that can be attributed to the conditions that may result because of isolation. Bodily pain and increased blood pressure, malnutrition, major clinical depression almost accounts for $78 billion in total expenditures. And some of that is attributable to older adults. So why then do we need to intersect technology with this? A long time ago, way before health information technology, social networking, social media became ubiquitous terms in our society, if you were isolated, particularly if you were geographically isolated, there was very little that could be done about it. But technology now can be employed to create communities of similar individuals that can promote greater social interaction amongst older adults with similar interests. There are two types of technologies, really. Prevention-focused technologies that decrease the risk of social isolation, and the mitigation technologies that minimize the effect. The internet, and I remember, I've been in the field forever and a day, and I remember when the internet was really starting to take momentum back in the early 90s. This is long before people were using email or iPads or Twitter. I know a lot of you in this room can't even think back to what those days were like. I understand. But when the internet finally became this prevalent technology, it became something powerful, something that could be available to detect and combat social isolation because it opened up an evolution of collaborative design. Chat rooms, news groups, emails, and now social networking. How many of you have a Facebook account? Everybody has a, of course you do. Why would you not have a Facebook account? How could we play Mafia Wars without a Facebook account? So you have it created an active and growing community for older adults. It provided a multitude of communication possibilities, book clubs, virtual book clubs, casual socializing, and support groups, which has become a very dominant use of the technology. Support groups for grieving older adults who have lost a spouse, grieving older adults who have lost a friend, grieving older adults who normally prefer to be isolated but are realizing the benefits of increased interaction. Prevention-based technologies can really be roundtables. For example, if there is a book that a lot of older adults have read, but they don't all live in the same place, there can be roundtables or forums for discussion on that book. Chat rooms or tools that make the internet more accessible for older adults. Larger font size, larger keys, and so forth. Mitigation-based technologies, there's a whole group of these that can be used, but they really fall into these categories. Social networking, video games, believe it or not. Internet protocol television, which became very popular in South America and is now beginning to work its way into the United States, and then what we would call tabletop user interfaces. Social networking. Facebook is ruling the universe. Everybody has a Facebook account, and there are Facebook accounts that are designed for older adults. And they have found this to be extraordinarily useful, not simply because of the ability to post information about themselves, to share pictures and information, but for the very same reason a lot of us like Facebook, because they get in touch with friends that they haven't heard about for 30, 40, 50 years. Some of them maybe they don't want to find out anything about, but for the most part it allows them access to find friends that they may have forgotten. Video games. Why are video games so important? The Wii, and to some extent Kinect, have become extraordinarily popular in assisted living facilities, in rehab communities, and in nursing homes. Why are they becoming so prevalent? It's becoming significant because it allows for a collaborative environment for participation. yes, you can have a Wii console at your house, like I do, and you can go down and work out to your heart's content by yourself. Or you can have a Wii console in the middle of a living area in an assisted living facility and develop tournaments in which most of the older adults come and participate. It has become more popular than you can imagine, from golf tournaments to bowling tournaments to group exercise sessions. It allows them to participate in active in physical activity that is not as stressful as, for example, going to a gymnasium, but also allows them to participate with other members living within their community. And because the Wii and Kinect and consoles that are similar to that have the ability to connect online, then they can also participate and have tournaments with other facilities that may not be in the same geographic location. The ability of this technology to not only improve the health and the physical well-being of older adults also improves the emotional well-being, largely because it's collaborative, it's highly functioning, and it allows them to meet like-minded individuals to participate. Internet Protocol Television, it uses a peer-to-peer network that enables the exchange of data between a TV content provider and a TV viewer. Here's how it works. So within a facility, they have the Internet Protocol TVs. And within the selection of the shows that they watch, it will detail and document what their favorite shows are. So, for example, if there is a large group of older adults in a setting that like Glee, for example. Hard to imagine, but let's just go with it. So they all like Glee. It will document the fact that they like Glee, and it will share within the TV how many people are watching Glee. And this elder adult can look at the TV, see, oh, there are 55 people in my facility that are watching Glee, and they can watch the show. And then afterwards, a discussion group can be started within the television to talk about the show that they just watched. When television, which became very dominant in their lifetime, becomes a means where it can be used the internet to harness collaboration, this becomes a very powerful technology to foster a community around a common theme or element that everyone can agree to or attach themselves with. It creates interconnected homes and living rooms, sharing experiences with community viewers, and the mediation of social interaction across geographic distances. Again, because it's the internet, it's not geographically constrained. You can use the TV not just within your community, but you can also see other older adults that are watching the same shows in other communities as long as they're using the same technology. And okay, so there's one other thing I wanted to talk about before we get to this slide, and that is the tabletop user interfaces. This is technology that's actually built for the facility. And the most common of this is what we would call desktop photo sharing. Now, I know within Facebook and other programs that are like that, you can upload photos and share them. The tabletop interfaces really are interactive consoles in which you can load photographs into the equipment and then share them with other seniors or other elder adults. Because it's a tabletop, people can look and sit around it and share those photographs and look and tell stories about the photographs that they're loading. So it allows them to share experiences with other older adults. It allows them to talk about their past, and it allows them to foster greater collaboration and interaction, again, with other older adults. But despite all of this, there are a lot of major challenges as to why this is even being discussed. And the first one, the most dominant one, is this is not a real care problem. And I would boisterously disagree with that statement, which is it is a care problem. If you look only at specific conditions and then treat only those conditions, you're right, this wouldn't be a problem. But if you look at the older adult as an individual and identify what their life is currently like, how is their interaction with others, how is their collaboration with other individuals, do they want to be isolated or do they yearn for collaboration or interaction which they're restrained from because of circumstances that have occurred? If the answer to that is yes, there are technologies now that can help, and as a result of that, some of the conditions that may fall from social isolation can be resolved. It's too much like depression or dementia to be considered a real problem. No, social isolation is not depression. Social isolation is you are isolated. That doesn't mean that you're depressed. It could lead to depression if something isn't done with it, but you can't confuse the two terms. One is very distinct from another. Depression is a specific condition. Social isolation is really more about the individual. You can never cure or mitigate this problem, so why deal with it? It's not a question of curing. It's a question of looking at the older adult, respecting the way that they are, understanding their life, and providing the ability, utilizing technology that is so prevalent, cheap, in all cases almost free at this point, to help them interact with other adults, to improve the quality of their life, and to mitigate the circumstances that may result if they continue to be isolated and not by choice. What if an older adult chooses to be alone? Then they choose to be alone. That's why defining the term becomes so significant. If they choose to be alone, the odds of those conditions resulting from social isolation are somewhat, to some degree, mitigated. But if they're choosing not to be alone, and most of them do not, then there is a way and a means to correct that. Most older adults are too stubborn to use technology. This is a giant myth. This is absolutely not true. They want to use technology as much as the rest of us do. Do they use iPads? Probably not. Do they use iPhones? I don't know. But I do know that there are computers in almost every long-term care facility for use, and that there are designs that can be incorporated to make those easier to use, and the ability to harness that technology for their own purposes and for collaboration is significant. So I want you to think about this quote before I end. I'm going to thank my wife for this one, because she's the one that gave me the idea. And the reason why that's significant, there's two reasons as to why. The first is, why do we consider and put so much emphasis on this issue? You know, my wife and I are very lucky. We just celebrated our 11th year anniversary. And when we were out over the weekend, she actually asked me, because we have two very young children. She said, do you remember what our life was like before we had kids? And I went, not in the least bit. I have no idea what that life was like. All I remember of my life is racing around, taking the kids from one thing to another. They're getting sick. They need to go to sleep. They've got to get dressed up in costumes and go trick-or-treating. They want to eat 15 things of candy that they just got. I don't remember what that's like. And to some extent, I don't really want to remember what that's like because I'm happy with the way that life is now. When you take an older adult and take them away from everything that they're familiar with through circumstances they could not control, it's hard for them to remember what that life was like before those circumstances hit. So they become isolated, not necessarily by choice, but they become isolated because they don't know how to reconnect because they've been married. They've had a job. They knew how to drive. But now all of a sudden that's all taken away and they become isolated. And in the old day, a long time ago, it was impossible to deal with this. But the technology of today doesn't make this impossible. And I would further say in conclusion that the way we treat our older adults is the very way that our society should be reflected. Because older adults walk into life with an enormous amount of information and stories, a history that follows with them and a legacy that follows with them. And the technologies that can be employed improve the quality of life until the end. And out of respect and dignity to them, that is what we should be employing and that is what we should be using. And that is why social isolation is something that should be considered and something that could be effectively dealt with. Thank you.